to embrace the idea to make him as, like, that would be saying you need to be as aggressive as humanly possible trying to make every ball yours. Because at shortstop, there really are times not to do that. In the outfield and specifically in center field, you are coming in on the ball. You probably should take the ball from the infielder at that point because it's almost always an easier play. And you absolutely should be trying to take every ball you can get from your left fielder and right fielder.
Cruz DHing tonight and hitting cleanup with Jared Jones back on the mound, by the way. Michael A. Taylor, I thought he was gone.
He's still here?
He's still here and batting eighth playing center field. Somebody called in the sports call last night and said, keep Michael A. Taylor around because he's number one, a good teammate. And if there's someone who can help a guy learn center field, he can do that much better than Ji-Won Bae. And I actually agreed with that. As far as carrying like a reserve player.
I'm not sure Ji-Won Bae should be helping anybody position.
He was sent down to AAA today. Thank God. And Henry Davis is catching Jones and batting ninth. So all that leads us into this next conversation with Pirates play-by-play man Greg Brown. He is brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. Greg, if we were having this conversation 25 hours ago, and I said, hey, Greg, I got a crazy idea. Start playing O'Neill Cruz in center field. Would you have told me I was out of my mind?
No.
Even if I said, do it right now, do it right this second, don't wait until the offseason, do it in September, you would have said, that's pretty neat. Let's do it.
Well, it's bold. I'll say that. It's bold. And I've been talking to a lot of people, you know, around the organization because I really don't know how I feel about it, quite honestly. I understand all sides. I wondered when he came up through the big leagues, was he a legitimate shortstop? I've talked to a lot of baseball people over the last couple of years who've watched him, people I really respect, who many have said, you know, he's just long-term. You just can't afford those mistakes.
Yes.
I remember talking to Jim Leland a few years ago. This is even before Cruz, and I'll never forget, because you have got to have a shortstop. If you're going to win, you've got to have a shortstop. You know, when that ground ball is hit to him in the bottom of the ninth inning with two outs and you're leading by a run, you know that's the third out and you have a win. And that has stuck with me for years. And watching Cruz, I thought, you know, I hope so, but very erratic. So I think, you know, I keep going back and forth. Is now the right time to do it? I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
He said no today. How about that?
He said he would have had it done after the season if he had it up to him.
I was not down there for that. I know I'm watching him right now. Watching him from the get-go earlier this afternoon when he first went out there.
With the jugs machine, right?
Yeah, but now he's taking fly balls during BP. Michael Taylor was out there alongside with him.
Good.
Brock is out there talking to him. Shelton was out there talking to him. Yeah, interesting. I don't know if they do this a lot. I don't watch every BP, but at least for today, they had Reynolds, Brian De La Cruz, O'Neill Cruz, and Billy McKinney all out there taking fly balls. Whether they did that to make O'Neill Cruz feel more comfortable, to be around those guys, and even Reynolds taking fly balls out there in center, I don't know. But they're doing everything they possibly can to make this adjustment as smooth as possible, and they are falling all over themselves to a degree to make sure, O'Neill Cruz knows that, you know, they are behind him. This is what's best for him and the organization. And, I didn't realize he said he'd prefer not to. He said, no, I don't want to do it now.
He was asked he would have, if it was left up to him to make this move, he would have rather it happened in the offseason.
Yes, that's exactly what he said.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I get that part too. I get the pride factor. So much goes into this thing, and I understand all sides, and I guess we'll find out whether this turns out to be right timing.
Well, just objectively, he was a horrible shortstop. I mean, there's just no way around that. Every data point backs that up. I don't care what the flashy plays say, or the miles per hour throws to first base, or the web gems every once in a while. Whether you go traditional stats or errors, or you go with the advanced stats, Everything says he stinks at it.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I didn't look at the stats, Andrew. But if you were to say, if you would ask me, what kind of a shortstop below average is where I go? Horrible. I don't know horrible, but below average for sure is where I'd go with that.
Greg, I thought his aggressiveness, over-aggressiveness, because I think he wanted to make plays. When he made a bad play, he wanted to atone for it. The Houston game is obviously the one where the over-aggressiveness really killed them. Do you think that center field, that aggressiveness will serve him better since it's a premium defensive position still, and you really have carte blanche to try to take every ball you can, and if you're coming in on one and an infielder's going out, that's almost always your ball. Do you think that could help him because we know he wants to make the plays?
I do, and I think that my feeling is right now, just having watched him take the balls off the machine and now off the bat, he looks, I will say, because I reserve judgment. I didn't know whether he's going to be any good or not. At least this is just for today, for watching a couple hours. He looks graceful. I mean, it looks like it's natural for him. Now, I didn't see him, I don't know if you guys have talked about this or not. They tried this experiment at AAA Indy,
yes,
2 years ago,
yep,
9 games, and they abandoned that. In fact, I think he ended up getting hurt. And I don't know if that's the reason they abandoned it or whether he just didn't want to do it. I don't know. But that was in right field, I believe. He started right or left. It wasn't
left.
Center.
It was left.
Okay, it was left field for about 9 games. And so that failed, that experiment, for whatever reason. And so I guess in my mind I thought, well, did it fail because he didn't want to do it? Or was he no good at it? Well, watching this, and I will tell you quite honestly, when he walked out this afternoon, he didn't. Body language was not good. He did not look interested at all. But watching him then take the fly balls, it looked to me from high above that, and then using binoculars, he was graceful. It looked natural. And then I started to wonder, you know, if he's in a ball game, you know, in the next few days, whenever he gets out there in center field, and he starts to make some nice defensive plays, he might start to like this a lot. To your point, Chris, that he is the quarterback out there, and they will push him to call off everybody, the center fielder, the right fielder, and the left fielder, to go after everything. And maybe the more success he has in that regard, and the more guys he uses that arm, because he loves that. He loved being the special cutoff guy that they used this year. Yeah. They told him to aggressively go out there. He loved that. He loves to show out that arm.
The arm should play better in the outfield, Greg, for that reason. Too many of these throws were in the dirt. You can throw a one-hop laser that's relatively on target, and it work out a lot better for you.
Greg, I'm just surprised that one of the things they've harped on all year, which is his ankle and the rods that are in there. My God, every time I hear about the rods that are in his ankle, that they feel like all the movement now, they track these things so closely that they think somebody that's come back from what they described as a one-of-a-kind injury is okay to cover all that ground in center field.
Boy, yeah, I don't know about that either, Andrew. I have to talk to some more medical experts about it.
Well, you know, they brought that up countless times with him this year.
Right, and you know, a lot of stuff is spin too in sports. I don't know. Were they saying that the shortstop was better for him with the pins, the rods in there? Was shortstop better? And then now do they admit, you know, actually this is going to be better? There won't be as much of those quick stops in the outfield. You know, he can run freer. I don't know. We'll see about that. Sometimes I think we've talked about this before about injuries. Sometimes those things are used as an excuse for the player. Sometimes it's legit. Don't know the answer to that. I would hope that after now a year of recovery, a full year, and now we're working on 2 years, that won't be an issue anymore. Because the other thing too, I've heard about the rods, the ankle, and that's why maybe he wasn't running. Well, then the very next day or even that day, you see him sprint from first to third with ease.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much of that is legit.
Greg Brown,
I just don't know.
He'll have the Pirates tonight. Jared Jones back on the mound. That's good to see. And then Paul Skeens will pitch the matinee tomorrow against the Cubs. Greg, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Your heart care matters. Get your heart checked at UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute. Steelers roster cuts were due 15 minutes ago. No announcement yet. What gives? What's the holdup? Is there a trade that is getting sorted out? Are there multiple moves due to players getting placed on PUP lists and IRs and things of that nature? that is slowing down the official release of their roster, potentially. But just about every team has put out from their official Twitter site or Twitter account or team website their 53-man roster, and the Steelers still nothing. In the meantime, a couple of quarterbacks that people here are very familiar with were released. Nathan Peterman, done with the Raiders. Nate Peterman still holding on to some hope that he will... Well, I guess he has made a career for himself in the NFL. What am I talking about? He's probably made, what, $5 to $10 million?
Nate Peterman played one of the all-time bad games. Maybe the
one of the all-time bad halves.
Yeah, bad halves, I should say. Has anyone else ever thrown 5 interceptions in a half?
Oh, that is a great question.
I think I could football reference that thing. I don't think anyone has. Del Holmes thrown 7 in a playoff game, but I don't think 5 came in 1 half.
He was also, he was joined by Zach Gentry in Vegas as a player that was notified that their services were no longer needed. Trace McSorley, 2 Penn State quarterbacks cut today. He becomes the latest. Has there been, how many Penn State quarterbacks have started games in the NFL since Kerry Collins? Matt McGloin.
Can't
did
count,
with the Raiders.
Hackenberg would have started at least one,
with
right?
The Jets.
You can't count Mike Robinson because he didn't start as a quarterback. He was just a Penn State quarterback.
So is that it? Darryl Clark never played?
I'm thinking of the rest of them. No, they're so, like, you know, not of note.
Did McSorley, he came into the game against the Steelers here.
He didn't start
here.
That game, though.
No, RG3 started.
Did. When he was with the Ravens. Did he start like one of those random-ass Week 17
Why do I feel like McSorley
games?
Started a game not for the Ravens, but like Arizona?
He did last in 2022, he started one game. Great memory, Donnie.
Good call. Better That's than a, Pony on that one.
Yeah. Sarah's going to make fun of me for that one. She makes fun of my sports memory all the time.
That's his only NFL start. He also, well, wait a minute here. Well, he played 6 games. He only started one. He threw 5 interceptions, no touchdowns. In 2022. So McSorley, McGloin, and Hackenberg. Those are the 3 guys since Kerry Collins. Is there anybody else we're leaving out here?
Definitely not Zach Mills.
Morelli never went to the league, right?
No.
No.
It would have been the Arena League.
Which I actually think
he
played
throw a football through the
wall. I
think
he played for the Pittsburgh Power.
If football had their equivalent of like the golf long driving contest, you just ask Morelli, hey, Anthony, throw the ball as far as you can.
How many,
he would have been good.
How many Pitt quarterbacks since the mid-90s?
Did Palko start?
Yes, he did,
yeah.
With the Chiefs against the Steelers.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so Palko, Rutherford never did, of course.
Peterman.
The Peterman. Didn't Tom Savage start a game for
yes,
a couple games for Houston?
Yes, he did.
He absolutely did.
Pickett, obviously.
How about Flacco?
Never played for Pitt, though. Can we really
I don't
claim
think it's
him?
Fair to claim him.
I don't
I think he's a Delaware
claim,
blue hen.
Yeah, he's a blue hen.
He's a proud Delaware
yeah,
man,
you
just
can't
like
claim
Rich
him.
Gannon.
You can't claim him.
Yeah, what do you mean you can't claim him? He was on the Pitt roster.
He never played a game for Pitt, though. He never appeared.
Okay.
Max Brown list. Never did, of course. I'm thinking of like your John Termans, your David Priestleys. Pete Gonzalez did? Nope, he never did.
So Pitt has 4 quarterbacks and Penn State has 3 in that time.
Are we leaving off? Did Luke Getsy ever?
No.
I'm running through every name I got here, man.
Luke Getsy did not.
God, I remember back in the day when Palko ended up at Pitt and Morelli decommitted to go to Penn State, and people were just like, they got so screwed over here when Andrew, and then it was Andrew Johnson decommitted to go to Miami.
All right, here are the moves.
Whew.
They put them out on a sheet of paper where I have to zoom in because it's in such small.
They're the worst at doing this, and if the Steelers want to hear all this from me and get mad, fine. But they have their click-through thing that's sponsored, and then their stuff is impossible to read. It's always like this.
All right, Des Fitzpatrick cut. He did not make the team despite his heroics in the preseason. Along with
Jerae Jenkins
and Deuce Watts.
The big Deuce. They dropped a Deuce.
Hot Rod Williams cut at tight end. Aaron Schlumpkin, who Malsey called Aaron Blumpkin on Friday, gets released.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. Time out for 1 second. Don't we owe Dom money?
No, because JPJ did not score. It was
no, we told him. I thought if he won the...
Shut up. No, it was not.
You owe him $100.
No, it was he had to get a touchdown with JPJ. John Reese Plumlee released.
Tykeem Doss, that enormous human being.
Doss. Kyron Johnson cut at outside linebacker. LaMichael Perine cut. Jonathan Ward cut. Ryan Watts placed on injured reserve.
Which I thought he had a stinger.
That's what it was described as. It looked way worse than that.
Julius Welshoff.
Yeah, the German dude who was tearing
Charlotte.
Up.
Oh, you know people wanted him to get. He was like kind of the RJ Bowers of, you know, but this year's team.
I think the list those guys are on, those are season-ending lists.
That's what I mean. Well, because then there's a reserve injured list that is designated for return, and that's Dylan Cook and Jeremiah Moon. And then reserve pup list is Cole Holcomb.
Yeah, so he has to sit out at least the first four games of the season for Holcomb. So the Watts thing was much worse than Tomlin made it out to be.
Well, he said stinger. It looked like you said it was worse. Is it like a severe neck injury?
I don't know.
It's just odd.
It looked like his chest was vibrating up and down badly.
That ain't good.
So they kept all their defensive linemen. They kept 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 defensive linemen. Well, I guess you don't count Liel anymore because he'll be an outside linebacker now.
Sure, seems like it.
So they kept 7.
Mm-hmm.
Ogunjobi, Lowry, Lee, Benton, Adams, Hayward, Loudermilk. Let me see who else here. Mark Robinson, Medicevich make the team. That was a given.
There were people suggesting Mark Robinson might somehow.
Apparently, he had a tremendous camp.
He did. Apparently, he was terrific. But people thought like he still might get squeezed out. But I guess it was basically he was playing too well, in their opinion. What did they say? The light bulb went on for him finally?
And they decided to keep Scotty Miller over Dez Fitzpatrick. That makes sense because that's a Arthur Smith guy from Atlanta. And they'll probably be able to sneak Fitzpatrick onto their practice squad. Offensive line, McCollum makes the team as Frazier's backup center. But
yeah,
I think
true backup center there.
But I think if something were to happen to Frazier, they would move McCormick to center, or maybe even take Daniels or Sayamalu and move him to center.
Man,
before
Daniels hasn't played it in so long, though.
I know.
Remember how Larkish told us that was his best position.
Or have Spencer Anderson play center before McCollum.
Maybe Dan Moore can try center.
Kept 3 tight ends. Pruitt, Washington, Freiermuth, then I guess you count Hayward as an H-back. So Warren must be good to go. Because if Warren's not good to go, that means Cordarrelle Patterson is your primary backup to
Najee Harris
when we get to week 1. All right, we'll continue to break this down when we come back. Donnie has his debrief. We'll see other moves that are made, some guys that were released that make sense for the Steelers. Wide receiver still clearly a gigantic need. That music means it's time for Donnie's segment. We call it the Donnie Football Debrief, and it's brought to you by Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. Or Mount Washington. You know people that say Washington?
My grandma used to say Washington with everything.
Yeah, my grandmother, wash your hands.
Like, yeah, wash the clothes. George Washington.
No, she did not.
Oh, absolutely.
Touchdown, Washington.
Let's go to George in Washington.
I'd give her a hard time, and she'd get a little fired up with me if I'd said, like, oh, George Washington, that your favorite president.
Yeah, my grandma said wash. I don't think I ever heard her say wash in the way that you were supposed to say it.
My grandmother was big on saying mature instead of mature. I don't know why. I don't know where that comes from.
I know people that do it, but I feel like they're trying to do it trying to talk fancy. I think that happens with a couple different words, but they're eluding me now what they would be besides mature.
Hey, let's get right to it. George in Washington, first up tonight. Hey, George.
Bob, in 1923, Charlie Grimm had a 30-game hitting streak for the Pirates. Do you think that Brian Reynolds is going to break that record?
Well, the way he's swinging the bat now, yes, I expect that to continue, although it gets harder as the days go on.
Bob, I remember Charlie Grimm. He played with Pie Trainer. Hold on, let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better. Bob, what are you doing taking George in Washington?
It's Pony.
I
How
know
are
it's
you,
you
falling?
No, he did not.
He did. He had no idea. It was
no.
He's trying to cover that on the fly, but if we had him on our 93.7 The Fan YouTube live video feed, you would have found a very perplexed and annoyed Bob Pompeini.
A number of people were impressed by how authentic my old man voice sounded.
Yeah, actually, it was good. You did sell it well. I mean, Starkey tries those, and then he just starts to wheeze.
What did he
like
do today? What did
in.
He do today? We heard it. We were standing in the parking lot of the miniature golf place over the, you know, in Carnegie or Greentree, and Donnie and I are walking in together, same time. We see him on the phone going,
"Yeah,
hi, this is Caitlin in Clarksville, West Virginia."
Yep.
And he starts cackling immediately.
Ron in Cooks Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Palsy, you know what they say. You can't make the club in the top, Bob.
That might be the best one. You can't make the club in the top, Bob. That might be Joe's best one.
Palsy took that in stride. He was loving it.
He had to know it was Starkey. Ron
I don't
Cooks
think he
Forest.
Did. He said after the fact, like, he didn't realize it was him until it was too late.
God, it's like being at a concert. He plays that first note. You just hear somebody doing Cook's voice, and it's immediate.
Fanny in Butler is joining us right now. What's up, Fanny?
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Hey.
No. No. You can't do that. Fanny.
Oh, hold on. Bob's right there. He got Susie, his wife. Joe got his wife to start the call. That was the one that I think I'd throw out.
Yeah.
That's inadmissible in court here. Do we have Glenn and
Bob
Glenn Willard or no?
Just goes, no.
Alvin in Aliquippa is on the line right now. Hello, Alvin. How are you?
Hey, Bob. You think Keno's in Jerry's backup field?
Let's go to Alvin. Let's go to Alvin.
Oh, man. I do love the glee in Joe's voice as he just breaks down laughing because he can't believe it worked again.
I just love, like, the gravitas, like, Bob gives the caller. It's Alvin in Aliquippa.
Big Al. Alvin in Aliquippa.
He's so excited for the guy. It's just
your chance to be famous on the radio. Hey, Bob! See,
anyways.
The thing is, I think if we all wanted to, we could get Starkey so easily doing it out. Like, we could do it to Joe and screw with him badly.
Oh, yeah.
I've told you the story. I would call in as my own name from my own location.
And he would think it was a legitimate call.
I would call and praise him. Like, the theme of every call was telling him I liked the show, but I loved it when he was by himself. And then he would go back and forth. I played the call for him the next day. He goes, yeah, that was a good call. And I was like, it was me. And it didn't dawn on him till that moment. We played the call back on the air, and he goes, yeah, that was a good caller. So why'd you play it?
I'm surprised he hasn't tried it on the sports call yet.
I would actually welcome that. I would love for him to try it on, like, tomorrow night's show. Or try to get Richie. Richie would take it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Richie thanked a guy for prank. The guy goes, I was gonna do a prank
this.
Call. I just decided not to and hung up. And Richie goes, thanks for the call. I was like, why? He just admitted he was trying to screw up the show. What are we doing here?
Donnie, what do you got for us in the debrief?
The debrief, August 27, 2024. Not sure if you guys have seen this kid yet, but Ross Tucker has been blowing him up for the last couple of days. The high school defensive tackle from Reading, Pennsylvania, plays for Governor Mifflin High School. 5'7", 315-pounder. So, Tucker said, immediately becomes my favorite high school player. The kid, he quote tweeted this kid posting his highlights. So I clicked on the huddle link. I went to watch it. I mean, I'm obviously rooting for a guy like this.
5'7", three bills.
It looked like the team they were playing, not exactly the greatest competition. Like, honestly, watching it, and I'm rare to do this, I think I could have handled
the 5'7".
I think I could have handled this kid through a high school football game. I normally actually had trouble with kids maybe around that height. Like, when they would throw a kid that was like 5'8", like 200 pounds, super quick, like maybe a wrestling background, that's when the night would be hell for me.
But if it, you got if it a was big some, plotter in there, you get a big I mean, Hank Mondo type.
You're tossing Harry Callis in there for four quarters.
So you,
I think in my high school prime, I'm getting the best of
you. You like the stout defensive tackle. You like the burly defensive
Absolutely.
Tackle.
Yeah, okay. I always, for whatever reason, did much better.
Oh, I just looked this kid up. I mean, he truly is an absolute unit.
Did you feel like watching the high school football games last weekend that the level of high school football has gone up or gone down since you stopped playing?
I don't know. It might be tough with a situation like that to really judge it. I mean, it's not like I played for, like, great teams.
Sure.
When I did play. But also the teams that I got to see this weekend. I mean, one could beat many, pretty much all Division III and many Division II teams.
Colleges.
St. Francis. Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, throw them out. Like, they shouldn't even be in the conversation. Central, you know, is going to look very good, especially for a week zero game.
What's wrong, Malzi?
I have our YouTube page up, and people are submitting new names and locations. Hey, Bob, this is Creed from Apollo.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a really good one. Anyway.
But, I mean, what we saw this past weekend was pretty high level. I mean, you saw your sloppiness from some of the teams because it was the first game, so you get a ton of penalties. Get a lot of turnovers, a lot of cramps, because they're just not set and ready to go. I've also wondered, too, I brought it up to Doran, if we see more cramping in the, like, early week games, because these kids only have to go through 1 week of two-a-days now. Hmm. Like, we went through two.
It was like the Junction Boys back in the day with you guys.
Well,
they were.
Well, it might as well be. Double the time. Like, these, they only have to go through, like, 4 or 5 days of two-a-days. We went through like 12.
So I think.
And now they get out there their first game. I have never seen, on Friday night, I had never seen, whether covering or playing, the amount of players cramping.
I saw the same thing at the game I was at. Now, my game was not
competitive.
Yeah, it was not. And then my neighbor Howie, who played at Uniontown, said that their star player had a cramping issue. And the solution was he would carry around a bundle of bananas.
What about
in high school?
Juice?
And he would eat like 20 bananas a day.
20 bananas?
He's like Donkey Kong.
He'd have like a potassium overdose.
I'm telling you, man.
Pickle juice works. I think the kids.
Yeah, pickle juice is a big one.
I think the kids.
But he was eating like 20 bananas.
That seems like overkill. Like it's going to cause its own set of problems. Also, bananas are one of the few fruits that stop you up. They don't make you go like fiber going through you. That kid was probably pooping actual bricks. Might as well just eat bananas and cheese all day.
Yeah, but
you're
the high school football coach. You don't care about the guy's bowel movements. You just don't want him to have to leave a game because of a cramp.
What if he has to leave the game because he finally has to go and he's pooping out a new football?
But yeah, like some of those games, I don't know how it was where you were at, Pony, but it was every couple of plays, maybe every play.
Hey, oh, Bob, it's Alec from Baldwin.